1-800-981-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, heard in Amelia Island at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We'll be talking about today, every vote counts. I know you have heard that before, and I want to emphasize that today as we are looking forward to those that are running for the school board for Duval County, and especially some of our conservative candidates. We want to let you know who they are and encourage you to cast the ballot for the one that I believe God would have us to vote for. And that's generally one that is a conservative Christian, one that will take a stand against the immoral, ungodly, unholy things taking place in our public system and public school system in particular. So, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a very dangerous world today, very dangerous society. Our nation has changed, tectonically changed, and we have watched us go from what would be called light to darkness. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says, there'll come a day when light will be called dark, and dark will be called light, and good will be called evil, and evil will be called good. I believe we're there today. Therefore, I think it behooves us to recognize what we're faced with and what we need to do as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, if we want to see God intervene once again in the election process. You've heard me say many times that I believe in 2016 there was a divine intervention of God in our election system and put Donald J. Trump in office. Well, I believe that we need to look at that, not just from the presidential level, but across the board with all of our elected leadership and what we need to do in relationship to that. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, when the Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples, he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So let me remind you that truth is something that matters. In fact, I'm looking at a picture. It's on the back of a large truck. Looks like about an 18-wheeler. On the back of it, he's got a sign that says, truth matters. Truth matters. And in all places, that truck was seen in Portland, Oregon. Truth does matter. It matters across the nation. It matters in every aspect of our lives. But it was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made a statement. It's a profound statement. It's applicable today, and we need to recognize it. George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that taking place today. You speak the truth about political issues. You speak the truth about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues. You speak the truth about any issues, and you'll find those that will want to counter it, diss you, and disagree with you about it. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement in part. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There is a greater example of arrogance and self-worship than in to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely what the prevailing view is in America today, even in our Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one truth. You've heard me say before, at the risk of redundancy, let me remind us again, a half-truth is a whole lie. We need to recognize that God is searching for those that will take a stand for truth. And unfortunately, in today's society, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% make this statement, and I quote, "Each person determines his or her own version of truth." Ladies and gentlemen, that's an impossibility. There's not but one single truth, and any deviation from that is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I challenge you each and every day that we need to seek the truth. And by the way, you won't find truth on the Communist Network News. You'll not find truth on CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, etc., etc. Truth is the Word of God. And listen, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, we find God's Word speaking to us in relationship to anything that we would call dealing with the home, the family, the church, and government. Civil government was God's design, God's purpose. God set up civil government for one single purpose, to protect the good and to prosecute the evil. And we find that being reversed today by the legislators, both on a national level, state level, and local level. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the full line of services with the Honda and Echo equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com. Toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, every vote counts. And if you would focus our callers and our questions and our dialogue and discussion on that aspect today, because we'll be drilling down, not just every vote counts, but every vote counts when it comes up, comes to the election for our school board personnel, for those candidates that are running for school board for the Duval County Public School System. But we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the need to look at what is taking place in our school system. No longer can a parent trust our school systems to train our children in math, English grammar, science, and history. In fact, today, may I say, ladies and gentlemen, the Marxist so-called educational system, as I call it, that might offend some of you, but that doesn't mean that everyone that's in the system happens to be a Marxist, but it's a Marxist system. And the design purpose is to indoctrinate and to weaponize and to literally get involved in the educational system to the point that it's accomplishing their purpose of destroying the morals, ethics, and the values of our nation and our nation's kids. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about our grandkids today and our great-grandkids. I'm still under 100 years old, but I'm thankful that we've got 10 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, and looking forward to what God's going to use them for. But we're in a system today, we're in a scenario today, where if we're not careful as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, if we're not careful and we just sit back on the sidelines and say, I cannot get involved in politics, I cannot be involved in the political system, I'm not going to run for office. If we continue with that journey, ladies and gentlemen, we will destroy this and the present generations that are coming. We find today through the Biden administration, and Biden administration today is, I think, solely, single-handedly responsible for the total deterioration of our educational system in America today. Mostly not aware of the fact that when Donald Trump was in office, he had already given directions to the Secretary of Education to start dismantling the Department of Education. Mostly not aware of that. She never carried out his instructions with that, but that was the instructions. Go back to the fact when we started the U.S. Department of Education. I believe it was under the Carter administration. We had students who were graduating with high scores across America, going on to college, and being able to graduate. Today, and it's as a direct result of the U.S. federal government getting involved, you won't find in the Constitution any place where the government has the responsibility of training our children. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place. We have been denigrated, and we've devolved to the point that we think that somehow, some way, U.S. Department of Education, all genius, and they're going to tell our teachers and our boards of education on what they need to teach. It's indoctrination on the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in most of our schools today. It's brainwashing our children to accept abortion as needed and normal. We're looking at an educational system today that our children are not required to do anything academically. But listen, right here in the state of Florida, just recently I read an article of an eighth grade girl that was required to stand before the classroom and act out sexual transcripts that she was reading before the class. Now, that is pure porn, and it has no place in the classroom. But across the nation, and here in the state of Florida, we find that taking place even today. Our children are not required, ladies and gentlemen, to understand anything about world history, state history, or U.S. government, anything of that nature. But they are being trained in the LGBTQ agenda. They're being trained, ladies and gentlemen, to accept and embrace abortion. They're being trained through the CRT and the other aspects that are, even in the state of Florida, even though the law has been passed and it's inculcated now, but it ought to be used. And many of our school board superintendents, like the previous one, Dr. Green, here in Duval County, said that she was going to write her own curriculum. And the ones that she had started engaging for doing that happen to be those proponents and writers of the LGBTQ literature and material, and others that had no qualifications for writing literature and curriculum for the schools in Duval County or any other school system. Our schools now allow males to enter into the girls' locker rooms, bathrooms, showers, etc., on the basis that you cannot discriminate against them. Today, most of our school boards reject or refuse to hear parental complaints. In fact, DOJ, I don't know if you've heard this before, but the Department of Justice under Merrick Garland, I believe the worst attorney general that America has ever had, in my most humble opinion, prepared a 32-page document transmitted to the FBI to be able to enforce it that calls the parents that challenge a school board about porn in the classroom. That parent is considered now a domestic terrorist. And now the lunatic liar called Chris Wray, that's the thug with a badge called the FBI, he wanted to deny that before the interrogation committee made up of the conservatives out of the U.S. House of Representatives. He said they're not enforcing that. But ladies and gentlemen, they are, in fact, doing so. So we need to be concerned. Our public school systems today have banned the Bible. They've banned prayer. Even the pledge to the flag is not done in most of our public school systems today across the nation. We need to be concerned about that. So as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to the biblical concept that requires every parent to train that child. And that requirement is found very clearly in Proverbs 22:6. And the Bible says, train up a child the way. The word way means bent, leaning, direction. Train up a child in the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should go, and when he is old. And in the Hebrew transliteration of that text, when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. The way we train a child, what we inculcate in that child at an early age, makes the determination of the trajectory in life that that child would take. You train that child right, and God's Word says it's the parent's responsibility. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to be very, very careful with what we do in our local school system. Who we place in office, who we elect for the school board, who we elect and their background, their status, and what they're doing. This upcoming election for Duval County, parents have an awesome responsibility. When we make a determination on the seats that are open for the Duval County School Board, ladies and gentlemen, our special guest today on Let's Face the Issues, Melody Boldick. B-U-L-D-U-C, Bulduc. Am I pronouncing that right?
Bulduc, yes.
our conservative candidate for the Vaughan County School Board for District 7. Welcome, Melody, to Let's Face the Issues today. We're thankful that you've been able to join us. Looking forward to what God is going to do in your candidacy and in your run for District 7 here in the Vaughan County School System. Melody, take a few minutes at your leisure. Just introduce yourself. Tell our listeners something about who you are and your background.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I'm really grateful that you have me on the show, and I'm thankful for the work that you're doing in our city and through this radio station. My name is Melody. I grew up in Mandarin. My parents raised me pretty conservatively. I went to UNF. I went to our local schools here. I graduated with a degree in secondary English education. I've been teaching for 24 years, 12 of those in the public school system, and I am a wife to Cameron Bulduc, who I'm very, very proud to be married to. He's a wonderful man of God, and I have two daughters, 13 and 16, and I'm well established in my local church. I've been there for about 15 years, led worship there, taught, did the children's ministry there for 10 years, and I am the academic dean of Kingdom Leadership Institute with a master's in bachelor's in practical ministry and a master's in Kingdom Leadership, working on my doctorate.
Amen. Well, we're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do with you, Melody, and I'm looking forward to that election victory celebration. What is the date? Tell our listeners for the school board election.
August 20th is our primary, and I hope to win there, so I'm not even looking toward November.
August 20th, ladies and gentlemen, that's a date that you need to put on your calendar. Be sure and go out and vote. I'm a patriot, and my wife and others that have known me for less than 100 years can tell you that, and I've made this statement many times on this broadcast, since registering to vote less than 100 years ago, I've not missed an election, local, state, and national. I've not missed an election. I believe it's a Christian responsibility to vote. I believe it needs to be salt and light. I believe salt is worthless in the shaker. Light is worthless in a closet. And we need to get out of the closet and get out of the shaker and be salt and light in the society that we're living in. So I challenge you today, even at this point as we interview Melody in relationship to her candidacy for District 7 and the school board, I challenge you to be a patriot, to be a Christian conservative, and to be willing to stand and vote when the election times come around. Melody is with us today. Tell us about your view, Melody, on public education. Should parents be concerned over what's now being allowed in the classroom?
I do think parents should be concerned. I'm very concerned to the point where I pulled my children out of public school, one of them at her request. I am concerned, you know, that whether or not our children are safe. I'm concerned for the things that they're hearing, because if they were just learning how to read, how to write, and how to do math, as they should be, which is the primary responsibility of our schools, then we would be safe. Instead, we have teachers and other programs asserting their own ideologies, and that's a parent's responsibility to teach.
Parent's responsibility, and if the I've said this, Melody, and you jump in on this discussion. God holds the parent responsible for teaching that son and daughter. Most parents cannot take that time because of working. So therefore, they place their children in the hands of what they feel are qualified educators to teach that child. But what many parents do not realize today, ladies and gentlemen, is that child is not being taught the general academics. We grew up with the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that's no longer the goal for the educational system today. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I'm going to tell you, you and the Congress, I forgot what she was, going for the school district. Y'all are dead on point, because I'm a 50th favorite. I remember we had the pledge of allegiance for the flag, and we had prayer in school. But now, it's just chaotic. I don't know if we're being judged by the Prince of Persia.
Kenneth, do you have your phone on speakerphone? That's echoing. If you would pick your phone up so it's not on speaker.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I said y'all are spot on because it's supposed to be the parents that teach the child in the ways to go. But like you said, it's nowadays they look at the school system, and especially the public school, it's ridiculous. That's why a lot of people are homeschooling.
Kenneth, you're exactly right, and this is the reason I recommend that parents realize our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, and that we are responsible under God's leadership to make sure that our children are trained properly. And if we see that going awry in the public educational system, we need to make choices and decisions. And some of those choices and decisions start out with who we put in position and the school boards that's going to make the choices and decisions for our schools. Well, number one, I'll say this, and Melody and I will talk about it in a few moments. I believe that we need to have an elected superintendent of schools. Last time we had an elected superintendent of schools was Stan Jordan back in the early 80s. And as a result of having appointed school board superintendents, just about each one, every 2-3 years, they wind up writing them a check, $150,000, $250,000, $300,000, canceling the contract and starting the search again. We're in a search now for a school board superintendent. We're going to talk about that during the course of this broadcast. Kenneth, I encourage you and challenge you to vote on the 20th of August. That's the primary, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do. Thank you so much for your call. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, hello. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood and your guest. I had a question about the school board race coming up and the candidate you have. Could she speak more to school safety and her experience of being an educator? And I thank you. I'll take my answer off of the air.
Very good. Thank you so much. That's one of the questions that I was going to ask, Melody, so I'll jump to that now. Tell us something about your experience. Basically, Melody, if you would, just speak to the fact of your credentials, your background, your qualification. Why do you think that you're qualified to run for District 7 School Board?
Well, that's a great question. I'd say my biggest qualification is I've been there. I've been in the trenches. I have been teaching for 12 years in the public school system, 24 years altogether. And I think it's very important that if you're making policy decisions for an institution, that you've been part of that institution. You know, I understand deeply what problems that we're facing in the classroom as teachers. I understand as a parent who's had children in public schools what we're facing. I understand that, you know, the money doesn't seem to flow down. I understand as a parent, my biggest concern was if I send my child to my local school, do I feel like they're going to be safe? Mm-hmm. And I know that we have policies in place for protection. We have metal detectors in many of our schools, but there are times when they shut those off. We're supposed to have doors locked, but there are many times they leave doors open for convenience. And so we do have avenues for students to get in. And I can reference the Marjory Stoneman Douglas massacre, mm-hmm. where a student got in because policies were violated. If anyone's read Why Meadow Died, that book was written by the parent of a student who was shot at Parkland because those policies weren't adhered to. So part of it is making sure that we are enforcing and that we are, you know, that we're going to our schools and making sure that those policies are being followed. We do have some additional safeguards that are coming, including a device that teachers will have on their person to alert whether there's a problem in their own classroom with one student. That's kind of a low priority. It's just help me in my classroom, where they have three levels, and the third level would be an alert to the entire school that we need to lock down and that we have a threat to safety. Mm-hmm. But the biggest issue that I'd be concerned with is, you know, our governor requested a grand jury inquest into what went on in Parkland, and the grand jury met. They interviewed with teachers, administrators, families, to figure out what went wrong. And when they did that, they looked at all 67 counties in Florida. And one of the things that they noted that is the most important thing and that calls us out, you know, as a county, Duval, they called us out specifically as having a, we have a school police department that answers to a police chief who is under the direct supervision of our superintendent, not reporting to the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. And so what has happened is it's in the best interest of our superintendent that our schools look good and that we have fewer incidents. And so the problem that we've had is the underreporting of crimes by the thousands.
Underreporting or the malreporting. Yes, absolutely.
Correct. So we don't we are not honest mm-hmm. about the problems that we're having in our schools. And so the biggest thing that I would suggest and that I would work that I will work toward once I'm elected is getting our sheriff's police department, sheriff's office underneath the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office and bringing more qualified officers into our schools.
Absolutely. Well stated. I believe we have Brett on the line. Brett, go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Youngblood. I love your show. My question for the candidate you had today is: how are you going to be campaigning in the district? Are you able to be doing those petitions, or are you going to have to be one of those candidates that puts in the money?
Well, sir, I am working really hard on petitions. I need 1,126. I've turned in 909, and I have about 100 more in hand. So, by estimation, I'm going to need at least about 100 more. I'm almost done, but I am absolutely devoted to getting in front of our voters so that I can represent them well. You can qualify by writing a check, mm-hmm. and it's not that we don't have the funds to do that, but I think it's more important. It says a lot more about a representative if we qualify by petition, so I'm
absolutely
committed to that.
Melody, may perhaps at this point would be an ideal time. Tell our listeners how they can jump on board, sign a petition, write a check, wave signs. Tell our listeners what they can do to help you in this election process.
Thank you. Well, I have a website. It's melodybolduc.com, M-E-L-O-D-Y, and Bolduc is B-O-L-D-U-C. Like, I like my coffee bold mm-hmm. with U-C at the end, .com. And you can sign up there to get a yard sign, to donate. You could donate right there online. Most of all, you could support me by telling your friends about me. I will talk to anyone. I love talking to people. I'd love you to hear my message. My number is 904-334-8164, much to my husband's chagrin. I use my personal cell phone number, but you can call me anytime, and I'd love to have a conversation about your concerns in the district. And if you would like a petition, I will come to you. I will meet you. And I would love for you to sign a petition if you live in District 7, which is Council District 6 and 11, Raul Arias, which is Danny Becton's old seat, and Michael Boylan. And I will, I would love to have petitions signed. I will, like I said, come to you.
Wonderful. I believe we have another caller. Blake is on the line. Blake, we've got a couple of minutes for our news break. So go ahead with your question or comment.
Mrs. Bolduc, your talk conversation about what we're doing at the police department brought up an important question for me, and that is that knowing a few teachers in the school system, what I'm understanding happening is when you have failing students, they get shuffled off to different classes where their failing status or need for additional attention and schooling and instruction is hidden. As a consequence of which being we have a seniors graduating with a reading attainment of 37% at grade level. So what are your suggestions about correcting this whole process of hiding the underperforming students and hiding the fact that we're graduating people that aren't functioning or haven't learned to the point they're supposed to have with their diploma?
Blake, let me hold you over until right after the top of the hour news so that Melody can respond to that and you can further your questions or comments. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break, about 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Consumer.